Amen. I tell you what, folks, if your heart hasn't been touched by the music tonight, you need to get your heart checked. Amen. I was holding back the tears just listening to that violin special. Just powerful. I appreciate the music that we've had this week. And it's great to see God's people using their talents for the Lord. Amen. And I appreciate that. What a great audience you've been last night. And you may boo me out of the building tonight, but at least I had you last night. But what a great audience. You know, for a preacher, the word amen means to sick 'em to a preacher. Amen. We got any outdoorsmen, any hunters? When you got a bird dog and you say sick 'em, that dog just goes after it. And when a preacher says amen and you amen, it means you're getting it and we're moving right on along. Amen. But now if you don't say amen, it means that dog is still circling. That means we're going to have to camp out a while. Amen. So your pastor said tonight that we're not in a hurry. So if that dog starts circling, we've got a 3-hour message tonight. Amen. So how many want to get out of here tonight? Amen. That's good. You know, your pastor was talking about the cologne. You know, he may not have gotten to use it, but the lady sure did love me wearing it. Amen. You know, do we have any twins in here? Any twins? I'm an identical twin. My brother and I, we shared everything. When I turned 16, we got a car and we shared it. We shared clothes. We shared everything. And so we just never felt anything about using his stuff. And when I say we used all of his clothes, all of his clothes. Amen? And so Rusty had a lot to bear having two twin brothers. But hey, Danny and I figured if we've got to share, so should he. Anybody here ever been on a blind date? Raise your hand if you've ever been on a blind date. Many years ago, before your pastor met Miss Christie, your pastor's heart was broken. It was broken. And me being a loving, concerning brother, I had a girlfriend at the time. Mine was still with me. So I asked my girlfriend to set him up on a blind date. So immediately as we stopped at the house to pick up the young lady, I knew this wasn't going to go anywhere quick. It wasn't his taste. And so we went to Kobe's Steakhouse. How many has ever heard of Kobe's Steakhouse? We went to Kobe's Steakhouse. And you know, when you sit down at a table with a bunch of couples or people, you know how the women will go, hey, would you like to go to the powder room? And the ladies all go, how many ladies know what I'm talking about? Men don't do that. I've never sat at a table with a man and a man looks over at me and goes, hey, Sam, would you want to go to the bathroom? But that night, Rusty looks at me. He looks at me. He goes, Sam, you want to go to the bathroom with me? I'm like, what? He goes, seriously, I need you to go to the bathroom with me. So I said, okay. I mean, I'm having a good time with the girl that I'm with. So we get up and go to the bathroom, and Rusty looks through all the stalls. He turns around and says, what have you done? He goes, what have you done? Y'all can get with them afterwards and ask them the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey says. Amen. You started it tonight. It's an honor to be here tonight. I've had a great time being with my brother. And look forward to hearing great preaching tomorrow and Thursday. And again, let's continue to be praying for Brother Thrift. I've never had the shingles, but I've heard it's very painful. And my heart goes out for him. And let's continue to be praying for him. I want you to open your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to change gears and go from laughing and now I've got to switch my mode here. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7 and let's look at verse 13. The Bible here says, if you're there, give me an amen.
Amen.
Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. I want you to understand and comprehend this verse tonight as I preach to you. And I want you to grasp what this verse is saying. This verse is saying that more people are going to die and go to a burning hell than will make it to heaven. How many have got lost loved ones or friends here in the city or around the country that's lost tonight? Raise your hands. I want you to listen to me tonight. And I want you to, in the back of your mind, be following this verse. Few there be that find it. Because the reality of it is, we know the end of the chapter. We know the end of the story of the Bible. But at the end of the story, the possibilities of our loved ones, our friends, going to a lake of fire becomes even real, more real. Tonight I want us to look at seeing people through the eyes of Jesus. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 14. Seeing people through the eyes of Jesus. My dad always told us boys growing up, he'd always ask us, what is ministry? And he always would tell us that ministry is about others. It's about people. Christianity is about Christ. But when you become a Christian, it now you become secondary. It becomes others when you become a child of God. How many are saved tonight? Raise your hands. Okay? When you became a child of God, you became secondary. Your life here on earth is now set to reach others, to keep them out of the depths of hell. Amen? Amen? And Jesus Christ, when he lived on this earth and he ministered for 3.5 years, everything Christ did was about others. We look in this passage of Scripture, we find that John the Baptist, the first cousin of Jesus Christ, John was 6 months older than Jesus. And we hear the story here, we read the story here, of John having his head cut off. And we see here that Christ heard about this. And the Bible tells us, let's look down here in verse 10. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel. And she brought it to her mother. And the disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. And when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot and out of the cities. When Jesus Christ heard the news of his cousin, and I've got cousins, I've got first cousins that I love dearly. How many have got cousins here tonight? I would imagine you love them. And I've got to believe that when Jesus Christ heard about John being killed, the flesh of him, the human part of him, it had to have hurt. And so the Bible tells us that he got away. But the crowds followed him from afar off. And we find here, look here with me, verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed the sick. You know, sometimes, folks, we have to be there to help others even when we ourselves are hurting. Jesus Christ here, he was hurting. The Bible tells us that he got away. He had heard the news of John being killed. It had nothing to do with him being God. It had to do with him being human and the emotions. But the Bible tells us that he saw what was going on with these crowds. I remember back in 1995, my grandpa Riggs, my dad's father in Arkansas, it was a Sunday afternoon. My grandpa had called my dad after church, and he was in the hospital. I was on the bus route, and I never got home on Sunday afternoons till about 4 o'clock from running my large bus route. I missed the phone call. Other members of the family got to talk to my granddad. I didn't get to. But when I got home, I heard that he was in the hospital. My grandpa had a stroke that afternoon, and my dad found out about it. And they told us that he had gone into a coma. So here it is. My father's got to preach that night. He's just been given news that his father has gone into a coma and they're not expecting him to live, and he's in Arkansas, 1,000 miles away. I remember watching my dad go. I remember watching my dad show up at church, and you never would have known anything was going on. People came to him, as people do to pastors. They got this issue, they got that issue, they're upset over this, they're upset over that. He dealt with all of it, got up and preached one of the most powerful messages that he's ever preached, and the church didn't even know about it until the end of the services. Sometimes, folks, you have to help others even when you yourself are going through. Are you with me tonight?
Amen.
Tonight, I want to give you some things about seeing people through the eyes of Jesus. We see here, number one, I want you to look at this verse with me again, in verse 14, and Jesus went forth and he saw a great multitude. Number one, I want you to look at the word saw. It means that Christ's eyes were opened. His eyes were open. He was traveling and he looked and he saw the people. I want to ask you tonight, are your eyes open to what's around you? You know, there's too many people today that have blinders. They have blinders around their life. You're a very selfish person. If you think you can live on this earth, go to work, come home, go to your kids' stuff, come home, and don't have a care about what's going on in the world, you're a very selfish person. Because you've got blinders on in your eyes. A horse, they'll put blinders on for that horse. All they see is straight ahead. They don't see anything to the right. They don't see anything to the left. And they do that to keep them from being distracted. And that's how God's people have become. God's people have become so selfish today that they don't want to be distracted even with sharing the gospel to a lost and dying world. I want to ask you tonight, what's so important in your life that's going to matter 100 years from now? More than telling someone about Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that Jesus' eyes were opened to what was going on around him. Today, our eyes are closed. It's me, myself, and I. We are living in one of the most selfish times of mankind. People today are more selfish and self-centered than they've ever been. We are obsessed with ourselves. It's gotten even so bad that families used to be a family consisted of the patriarch and the matriarch. It would be the father, the mother. If the grandparents were alive, it was the grandfather and the grandmother. And then you would have the siblings, the aunts and uncles. How many know what I'm talking about? There was a time when the family unit consisted of everybody. And everybody looked out for that family. It ain't that way anymore. It ain't that way anymore. Sorry, Dad, I don't have time for you. I've got my kids to worry about. I've got my wife to worry about. Sorry, Mom, I don't have time. We've gone from the family unit being about all of it to now it's me, myself, and my family. And we're living in a very selfish world. And people are wearing blinders. And they don't want to be aware of what's going on. Now help me tonight, folks. Don't get quiet on me. There is a man walking through Central Park. And he was like everybody today, busy. He had appointments he was late for. He had a schedule that he was trying to go by. And so he was rushing to get through Central Park. When he heard a cry out in Central Park. Anybody ever been to Central Park? Large park. I think some 12 to 1,500 acres. And as he was hurrying, trying to get through to where he needed to be, he heard a cry and a shout from a young lady that was being mugged. And as he kept walking, the voice kept getting louder and louder and louder. And he kept telling himself, I'm late. I've got places to be. Somebody else will take care of it. And that's what he told himself because he had his blinders on. But as he started walking further away, the voice just started getting louder and louder. And he heard the cry, Daddy, help me. It was his daughter. It was his daughter. We're living in a day and age of cell phone uses. Somebody have a cell phone that I could use for a prop? Am I good? Okay, there we go. It is a shame that today, when something happens to somebody, people are too busy to help the person because they're too busy recording it to get it on their social media to maybe get an extra 20 likes. That's where humanity has come to. People have become so obsessed. You watch it on TV. You watch the news. I watched on the news as a mother holding a child. How old is that child? 6 months. I watched on Fox News. A mother, whose phone was this? I watched on Fox News as they had a video footage of a mother carrying her toddler and a woman came and knocked her down as she was trying to protect her child, knocked her down and mugged her. And on the video it showed, and the Fox News people, the anchor people were like, what were people doing? Everybody had their phones out and was recording it. Not a single person helped. What would you do if that was your wife? What would you do if that was your daughter? The fact of it is Christians, our eyes are closed. There is a spiritual world out there. And there are people dying and going to a literal hell while God's people's eyes are closed to it. Because if I see it, then I'm going to have to deal with it. And I don't have time to deal with it. And so therefore, I tell myself, somebody else can look at it. Somebody else can see it. And somebody else will take care of it. I'm going to ask you tonight, are your eyes opened to the world of lost people? When was the last time you told someone about Christ? When was the last time you gave a tract out? When was the last time you invited someone to church? All of that is a representation of our eyes being opened. We're seeing what's out there. Now we look at verse 14, and Jesus went forth and he saw a great multitude and was moved. The second word I want us to look at tonight on seeing people through the eyes of Jesus is moved. The word moved means to be changed, to have a changed attitude. How many Longhorn fans do we have in here tonight? Raise your hands. Boy, that's not that many. Is there another team I'm not aware of? A&M? All right, I'm going to lose the crowd here in a moment. I mean, if that's the case, I might as well throw in the Hogs. Hey, you're pushing on a 3-hour service now. That's good. Sick 'em, boy, sick 'em. I'm a sports fan. Even when my team can't keep it together one game from the next. And there better not be one amen on that. But it is amazing that we can go to watch sports and we get moved. Our attitude changes when we're watching sports. Boy, we go crazy. As a matter of fact, we go so crazy that a woman in Alabama got upset at a fan sitting next to her on the opposite side that was on the other's team, didn't like what she said, so she just stood up and shot her and killed her right there. The Bible says that Jesus looked at the multitude and was moved. It is sad when lost people don't move God's people anymore. Amen. It is sad that we get more excited over, and there's nothing wrong with that. Don't kill me after services. There's nothing wrong with getting excited, but there's something wrong when God's people don't get excited and their hearts are moved towards reaching lost people for Christ. That word Christian means to be Christ-like. And the Bible says here that when Christ looked at the multitude, this multitude was hungry. They were sick. Last night I mentioned about the church being a hospital of the sick. There's a lot of lost people out there that need the Lord. Amen. Who do you think is going to reach them? Only a saved person can give the gospel. So if God's people are not moved, who's going to do it? Who's going to reach them? We find here that when Jesus looked at the multitudes, he saw. Our eyes have got to be opened. And number two, he was moved. His heart was changed. His attitude was changed. Now look at this next verse here, verse 14. The Bible says that his attitude was moved. It was changed with compassion. How's your compassion tonight? Town East, how is your compassion tonight towards others? You know that word compassion, it means to see the suffering of others. To see the suffering of others. Well, preacher, I know people are suffering, but I've got my own problems. Yeah. And that's why the Bible says that we ought to put ourselves last and others first. As long as you live on this earth, when are we not going to have problems? If that was the truth, then you and I would never ever reach a lost soul to Christ, because we're always dealing with our problems. Our kids' problems. Our kids become adults, and we still deal with our adult kids' problems. And then our children have children. And then our grandchildren grow up, and we're now worried about our grand. How many know what I'm talking about? If we use that argument, we're never ever going to reach anybody for Christ. What moves you tonight? Years ago in Chattanooga, I used to walk the streets of the down and out town there in Chattanooga. I would go to the areas where people didn't like. I would have gang members walk up to me on the street. And I would say, I'm Pastor Riggs. Oh, Pastor, you know, you're in a, I hope you know what you're doing. And they'd leave me alone. They would leave me alone, and they would call me by my title. As I walked the streets into the homes of the down and out neighborhoods of Chattanooga, I was walking down the street, and I had a partner with me that was across the street, and I was at this side of the street. And a woman stepped outside and said, are you a pastor? And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, could you please come in and talk with me for a moment? And I said, sure. I went in, and immediately, it was summertime, it was July. They had no air conditioning. And as soon as I stepped into the house, I thought I was going to throw up. And then I found out why. Her mother was in a medical bed, sitting in the living room. No air conditioning. The windows were open. She had had her leg cut off above the knee. And what I was smelling was the rotting of her leg, of her thigh, gangrene. And her grandmother asked me to come in, and I came in, and she said, Pastor, would you pray over me? And I prayed over her. And she said, I want you to reach. And her granddaughter reached over there and grabbed her purse. She wanted to give me money for the church. Compassion is seeing the suffering. And you see, folks, if we don't have compassion, we won't see the suffering. Amen. There's a whole lot of God's people around the country today that are guilty of sin, and they know it, but they don't want to feel guilty. And so they put those blinders on. If I don't know it, if I don't see it, I don't have to deal with it. Christ saw the suffering of people. He had compassion for the people. He saw their suffering. Which brings me to number four. Look at verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Now understand something tonight. I couldn't sit at that room. I couldn't sit in that room and touch her thigh above the knee and bring it back. I couldn't do that. We're not talking about physical healing here. But what I was able to do in that living room in that hot July is introduce her to the Savior who could. Amen. And she accepted Christ. Oh no, she lost her leg. But she gained a Savior. Amen. What we're talking about here is action. You see, Christ, when he looked out and saw the crowd, he didn't just say, well, yeah, I see them. I see that they're hungry. I see that they're hurting. And then walk off. That doesn't do any good, does it? He acted. God's people have got to look and see the people out there that's hurting. And we've got to act. You say, what do you mean by act? Get them to the gospel. If you don't know how to lead somebody to Christ, lead them to somebody who can do it. How many know what tracks are? You got tracks here? You can take a track and give it to somebody and they will receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's all kinds of ways. In the age of social media, you can send the gospel by email. You can take a picture of it on your phone and text it to somebody. But the important thing is for God's people to act. Amen. 2,000 years ago, after Christ died, the gospel started being spread. Over 7,000 miles away, the gospel reached the Great Walls of China. And it took less than 9 months for it to occur. Now, they didn't have cars. They didn't have airplanes. They had camels and horses. And they would come on a route, a traveling route. All roads led to Rome. And they would come to a campfire that people were at. And they would stop. And a Christian would share the gospel around that campfire. And this person might be going to Rome. This person might be going to Ephesus. This person might be traveling north. Those campfires, people would get saved. And then they would continue their travel. And then they would stop at a campfire. And then they would lead somebody to Christ. How many know what I'm talking about? It spread to the regions of the world. Now I want to ask you tonight, if Christ had been here today on this earth, with all of the modern technology that we have, would Christianity have spread any faster? No. God's people are too busy. There is a saying that Satan was trying to find a way to beat God. And they came up with a way. He said, we'll just distract the believers. We'll just get them distracted. You know, Christ sees people. And when we see people through the eyes of Christ, Christ saw the Samaritan woman at the well. He saw past her being a Samaritan. When Jesus Christ caught the woman, saw the woman that was caught in adultery, Jesus saw past her and saw someone that was in need of help. When Stephen was stoned, Stephen looked into the heavens and said, "Lay not this sin to them." He looked beyond. You know that song, "He Looked Beyond My Fault"? We as Christians have got to look beyond a person's fault to reach them. We're really living in a day and age where the political turmoil is worse than I've ever seen. I counseled a family at my church in Orlando. The husband divorced his wife because she was backing a candidate for president of a different party. And he said she was a whack job, and they had been together for 22 years. And he divorced her. I'm here to tell you tonight, folks, we're never going to change the world. We're never going to reach the world for Christ when we can't look beyond politics. Look beyond their faults. How many in here has got faults tonight? Raise your hand. Wives are bumping their husbands to get that up there. Do you know that Jesus Christ looked at you and looked beyond Amen. Your fault?
Amen.
And he looked beyond mine. Yeah, but preacher, that person's a horrible person. Well, look what they've done to humanity. Look at the criminals that's in prison. Look at the murderers and the serial killers. He looked beyond their fault. Do you know the greatest apostle in the New Testament was a cold-blooded murderer? Do you know that the greatest that wrote more books in the New Testament ordered families pulled out of their houses and taken to prison and killed? I'm talking about the Apostle Paul. Christ looked beyond his faults. Sometimes God's people won't look beyond out in the world, and they see people and they're living this way, living that way, and we don't want to reach them. I've said this to my church, you can't change a person's outside until their heart's changed. Amen. And it's only the gospel of Jesus Christ that can do that. Amen. They've got to first get saved before they can change. Amen. As I close this, I want to tell you a story. In 1964, a 28-year-old woman by the name of Kitty Genovese. If we've got any law enforcement in here tonight, you have probably heard of this case. I studied it when I was at the academy. 28-year-old Kitty was working at a bar one night, and she got off at 2:30 in the morning, and she got in her car and she started driving home. A man by the name of Winston Mosley put his target on her, and he followed her home. She parked her car within a hundred feet of her apartment. And she got out and started walking, and Mosley approached her. Just as she was getting close to her apartment door, and he stabbed her twice in the back. She started screaming and hollering for help. He got in his car and he took off as she staggered to get up, and she made it to her door, but her door was locked, and with her having two stab wounds, she was unable to call out for help. Mosley came back around, parked his car, came back to her, stabbed her multiple more times, and then he raped her, left her for dead, and left. There was one witness that was interviewed, and he said, "I didn't want to be involved." How's that for a witness? I didn't want to be involved. Another witness was quoted as saying, "I thought about getting my baseball bat, but instead took a nap." Now today, one thing about present is that they always go back to the past and try to change it all to make it look like it wasn't that big of a deal. During the investigation, it was concluded that some 38 witnesses saw her being killed. 38. I've got a daughter. How many in here have daughters? Raise your hands. I'm going to tell you right now in front of the whole world, if that ever happened to my daughter and I found out there were 38 witnesses, I wouldn't be in the ministry anymore. And neither would you. Could you imagine that? 38 witnesses. One said they were too busy. One said they didn't want to get involved. It was through her case that they came out with the 911 system. And it was through her case that they came up with the Good Samaritan law. It's against the law today. If you're able to help someone and you refuse, you're in trouble. And you should be. Now, I want to ask you something. How many have family members or friends in Florida? Raise your hands. How many have family members or friends across this country? Raise your hands. When I loaded up on my airplane in Orlando, Florida, I left at 3 in the morning, got to the airport. I thought the airport would be empty at 4 a.m. Who on earth? It was packed. I got on that plane. The plane was packed with people coming to San Antonio. And I want you to hear me on this tonight. What if there are 38 churches? What if there is a church around your loved one? What if there is a church that is in the community of your loved one that's lost? And they're sitting back and they're watching. Follow me. We hear all the time. I get phone calls in Orlando from people all over. I've got a loved one. I've got a friend in Orlando. They're dying. They're lost. Can you go see them? What if in the town that your loved one lives in, there's an independent fundamental Baptist church there that preaches the gospel, but they're just watching in the community. They're watching the lost souls in their community die and go to hell because their congregation is too busy. They're too busy. How would you feel? You think about that for a moment. You think about that loved one that you love so dearly. It may be a daughter. It may be a son. It may be a father. It may be a mother. And you've been praying and praying and praying for them to come to Christ. And then you find out there's a church within their community that does not care about the lost enough to go out and do something about it. How would you feel? How would you feel? My heart would be so broken if I knew that something tragic happened to my children And there were witnesses there that could have done something about it, but didn't want to get involved. There was an old movie that came out in the 50s, I think, with Henry Fonda, called 12 Angry Men. Anybody ever heard of it? It was about a young man being charged with murder and the 12 men who went into the jury. All 11 of them but one was ready to put the guy in the chair because they were being inconvenienced. One had a ball game that night, wanted to go to. So he wanted to put the man in the chair so he could get to his game. It was all about the humanity of people. What's the worst that could happen? A person die and go to a lake of fire. What's the best? They go to heaven and we're put out. Think about it tonight. I wonder how many people on that plane are lost. And I wonder how many people who come to the Orlando International Airport every day are lost. And they're coming around our church. And God help Starlight for not getting the gospel out. And God helped Town East. If we're so busy that we keep blinders up on our eyes so that we don't have to be involved. It could be your daughter crying for help. And a church is saying we don't have time and they move on. Time is short, folks. I believe that we're closer now than we've ever been with what's going on in the world. Time is short. And when that rapture comes, it's a whole different ballgame for our loved ones that are still here and they're lost. We need to reprioritize our life and make sure, to the best of our abilities, we're reaching others and we're concerned about others and our eyes are open to the suffering and the hurting of people around us. Amen? You say, is it easy? No, it's not easy. I'm not a people person. I'm not. You can ask your pastor. I'm very private. I'm not a people person. When I go to a restaurant, I'll look for the area that's the furthest away from everybody to sit and eat. The waitress will set us right in the middle of 500 people, and I'll look and say, well, there's a table right back there. And my wife will go, honey, and I'll walk all the way back there. That's just who I am. I don't like to talk. I'm quiet. When I was a kid, I had a speech impediment. My twin brother and I did. That was one of the problems of being born 2 months early. But when I became a child of God and God called me to preach, I realized I've got to do, whether I'm comfortable with it or not, I've got to do it. And you may not be comfortable with it, and I understand it. But we have to try. You've got a pastor here that believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've got a pastor here that believes in getting the word out. And I believe he's got a congregation here that believes it also. Amen. Don't get off of priorities of what's important. Don't let your life get so busy that you go through your life and let those around you never hear about the gospel. Let's all stand, shall we, with our heads bowed and closed.